do begin.
What is up, people, and welcome back to the Social Primate Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning back in. Just a really quick thing. Thank you guys for continuing to support the show. We're down to the last one or two episodes before the end of the decade. So, are you ready? Are you prepared to see the decade end? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Doesn't matter. You're here, and you're here for one thing, and that is for tonight's conversation. So, today I have a jack of all trades. He is a hip-hop artist. He is a community leader, an activist, an educator, and an event specialist. And if you don't know who I'm talking about Sneaky. If you haven't heard him, again, he's a hip-hop artist. He DJs, and he pretty much helps put together large-scale events. And on top of that, he is a host of the podcast Recognition and Respect. So if you guys haven't heard of him, you will now. And if you haven't heard of him, I'm actually surprised because this guy's name's everywhere. On top of the stuff that we talked about today, we kind of broke down and talked about the process of creating a platform for independent artists in the Southeast LA area, Stella, and pretty much kind of went down a breakdown on issues that affect our communities, kind of ranging from environmental racism, from the Exide Battery Company a few years back in Maywood, the stink from Farmer John's, you know, etc. And moving forward, it was more about trying to see the responsibility we all have in order to the responsibility we have towards our communities by trying to become more involved in the local politics. Because as most of you know, including myself, we don't make it into those council meetings. We don't know what's going on all the time, and those decisions are being made for the community without really taking into consideration the people who are not showing up. So, you know, it's time to start taking some action. You know, you got to take a little responsibility for yourself and for the community that you're in, because you were born there, man. That's where you come from. So, you know, that's kind of like the basis of what we talked about, including our own personal thoughts on the use of mind-altering substances and the anti-blackness that we, maybe not so much now, but it's a recurring thing where we see it within the Latinx and the Hispanic communities. And again, it's something that needs to be addressed in order for us to kind of move forward in a more conscious level, if that makes any sense. But again, I hope you guys listen to it. I hope you guys enjoy it. What can I say? Listen to the episode. The music spotlight today is also Sneaky. It's actually one of his exclusive songs that has not released, so you're the first ones to hear it. How fucking cool is that? His song's called Stay True, produced by The Sesh Studio. Again, it's an exclusive song. Nobody's ever heard this besides the people who have actually seen him at his shows. So, you know, stream this, repeat, keep playing it, do whatever you can to help support the podcast, support him. And obviously, you can find his music on Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube. You can go on his website, sneaky.net, a bunch of other places. So, you're not lacking of where to find this guy. So do what you do best. Jump on your phone, browse around, and actually browse around for something interesting. Huh? Again, stick around at the end of the episode for the full song and help support everybody. Hope you guys enjoy the conversation. I'm an alchemist, I've been making gold out of nothing. I'm in the studio, Sesh tracks are still running. Run another plane, track strap, still hunting. Thinking back to when I packed sacks, thought I was the man, time passed. County sales, wedding bells, baby cries, family ties. Trying to guess my father's eyes, to be the man in Brandon's eyes. Trying to dry my mother's eyes, to live my truth amongst the lies. Make sure you stay true, make sure you do you. Make sure nobody ever try to use you. Make sure you stay true, make sure you do you. Make sure nobody ever fucking use you. Life is a trip when I'm living like this. Success is the goal and I'm striving for it. To tell you the truth, been living in bliss. Chasing my dream and not giving a shit. Starting a business and using my whip. Employing my brain and flexing my wit. Expressing myself and my will and my gift. Making the life that I'm choosing to live. Forgetting traditional structures are fictional. Religion is ritual, existence is spiritual. Surpassing the minimum on a continuum. Chilling, kick back on the beat, but still riding the rhythm cut. Make sure you stay true, make sure you do you. Make sure nobody ever try to use you. Make sure you stay.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Social Primate Podcast. What's up? Thank you guys for tuning back in. For those watching right now, we're getting a sesh on right now. If you're not watching and you're listening to this, we are getting high. Really, really high. And with me today, we have Sneaky. What's up, man?
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing?
For those of you who don't know, I hope I have like a quick breakdown of what Sneaky is. But I have a community leader, activist, DJ, educator, event specialist, a little bit of everything, jack of all trades. What's up, man?
Damn, you made it sound better than I do.
Just a few keywords, you know.
I need that. You need to send me that copy so I could put it in my resume on my LinkedIn or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect, man. Well, thank you for coming out today. For those of you again who haven't heard of you, before you give us a little bit of background about what you do, I've had the chance to catch you at a few shows. I don't know how often you perform now, but I know you were performing a lot, at least like a year, 2 years ago when I first saw you. And I started seeing your name everywhere, and I was like, this guy, you know, he gets it going. You know, you get into it. I know I saw you performing, and it was, like, hip-hop, right?
Yeah, I do hip-hop. I have a lot of, like, rock influences, mm-hmm. soul influences. So it's, like, a lot of boom-bap, classic hip-hop, but I have a live band, so we do, like, rock stuff. And I've also done, like, the newer school trap stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, pretty much under the umbrella of hip-hop, but all kinds of alternatives and stuff. Yeah.
Sweet, man. So, I mean, with that being said, like, again, for those people who don't know you, because I know you're really involved, you know, at least from when I started looking you up, I found a lot of content online, like music videos or just like the archives of footage that you were in or, you know, stuff like that, music on top of that.
Yeah.
Podcasts. So it's like, you know, a lot of people by this point have heard your name.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Yes. I mean, I don't know how to answer that without sounding like fucking cocky and narcissistic. But I mean, like, to take our conversation, right? I was just telling Dre that, like, and I told you the same thing, that I was listening to your pod and I was like, damn, I need to be on this show. Like, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who I know, who I fuck with, that have been on this show. Like, why am I not on this show? And then you jump in my DMs, you know? Yeah. And then when we talk, you're like, yeah, I don't know you, but I've seen your name. I've heard you around. And so, I mean, that's kind of a common experience that I have where people will be like, oh, you're Sneaky, or like, oh, like, yeah, I've seen your name on flyers, or like, yeah, I know you do this with so and so, or you've been at this venue. So mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's just a testament to my work, because I've been that's kind of like the goal, is to be a household name and be able to like move people and do big things for the community and the culture and all that. So
I mean, you're doing a pretty good job at it, man, because for sure, you know, I've seen it like here and there, and I see it involved. I think one of the things that I came across once was that you were doing, well, you're doing a podcast.
I do a podcast. Right?
Recognition and Respect podcast?
Yes, right? Correct.
Cool. So how, I mean, just so we don't jump around, give us a little bit of background about how that came about, or what it's about as well.
So, I mean, the way I like to describe it is like, it's like a two part. So recognition is recognizing who you are, the guest, who the guest is, what they do. How long they've been doing it, kind of just recognizing their status now. And then respect is kind of like respecting the journey, the trials, the tribulations, and finding out how they got to this point, you know? So that's kind of what, in a very like general sense, very broad, that's what those conversations are about, is like people I know or people who I've met through this journey, like on my music network or through different avenues, and trying to get them a platform to be like, hey, like, I see what you're doing. I want to show other people, and hopefully they can get involved and help you build your brand or your business or your, you know, your fan base, whatever it is. So.
Okay. And then from that stems out to the other things that you've been involved with, right?
Right. So the music came first, and the podcast was kind of a way to have alternative content. You know, you know how it is, like, in day of social media, it's like all about content generation. How do I show, so as a musician, right? There used to only be a few avenues how you got your music out. Either it was the music, you perform shows, you do music videos, and like that was pretty much the extent of your content, you know? But now with the podcasting and vlogging, now you can show your audience a different side of you. Right. Where I'm not rapping right now. Mm-hmm. This is not like a visually cool, like edited, stimulating video. We're just having a conversation. They could see who Sneaky is, right? So that kind of idea is like, well, there's so many people out there who are doing really cool shit, and their social media or their content really doesn't reflect that. So I feel like podcasting gives that kind of other perspective and lets people see like who these people are and what they're actually doing and what they're about.
Yeah, correct. And at the same time, you get to showcase the work that you are involved. I know because like, for example, I used to do another podcast before this. It was called Live Locals. And that whole idea, Hannah, the whole idea started with, I'm a graphic designer. So like people weren't paying attention to the work, you know, and in order to have work to present, you need to, you know, get work from somebody else. But when they're not giving it to you, you kind of have to make the work yourself.
Right. You have to generate it.
Yeah,
somehow.
Exactly. So, you know, that, you know, that started snowballing into me involving more design work into the podcast. And then at the same time, I was producing content to try to give platform to other people who were in the same position to kind of, you know, just find a place where they can showcase what it is that they're doing as well, you know, community-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that just kind of rippled eventually to Social Primate.
Right. Yeah, and I like what you do because I feel like it's kind of in the same vein, you know, of what I'm trying to do. But obviously everybody has their own take and their own perspective and their own background they bring to it. So, like, we could probably have the same guests and we'd have completely different conversations, you know? So
yeah, exactly.
Kind of, so, like, that's why it's like, this is like the meeting of the minds, you know? Two people who are trying to put each other
on.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It becomes a big, like, what is it called? Hive mind?
Yeah.
And then
a collective, you know?
Yeah, and it gets getting pretty crazy. You know, so, I mean, besides the podcast, Sneaky Entertainment and Consulting, I see that's a big part of your website, right? Like,
yeah, so that's pretty much like the company that has developed out of this musical journey, basically like as a musician in LA, especially hip hop, or even having a band. Sometimes it's hard to get shows without having to pay to play or like some kind of ridiculous hoops that you have to jump through. And so out of that kind of like thirst, you know, that like that need, that necessity, and then a lot of people, not just me, there's a lot of folks who popped up around the same time who basically were like, well, we got to start throwing our own shows, cut out the middleman, find our own venues, make our own spaces, be able to put our own collectives on, our own friends, you know? And so that's where Sneaky Entertainment came from, was like, how do we do that and make it sustainable and, you know, be able to pay artists and be able to pay photographers and kind of create like an economy so that young creatives can have somewhere to go and like work, like you said, right? Like, who's gonna give you work? Like,
yeah, exactly.
When you need work to showcase, you like you need work to get work, right? So we're trying to be those first people that give you work and help you build your portfolio, and like we'll put you on our social media and put you on the flyers and like start giving your name recognition, you know? So.
Yeah, you know, the right, and that's like the important part, because again, at least at to me at that point when I was first, you know, thinking of, you know, you people think like podcasts, you know, it's easy because people are sitting down in front of the mics and kind of just talking, which it could be easy, you know, but there's also like this.
I've heard some really bad ones though, right? Like, I'm pretty sure you have the same experience. Like, someone puts you onto a podcast and you're just like, this is not interesting, this is not engaging.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm over it. Like,
yeah, you're over it. You're just kind of like waiting for the clock to finish. But, you know, at least to me, I was really introverted when I first started, well, just in general. And it might not seem like I am now when I'm talking one-on-one with somebody and it's kind of flowing and everybody's comfortable. But, like, put me in a group and I'm, like, I'm fucking scared, dude. I'm anxious. You know, so it kind of started breaking down a few walls for me as I started developing the podcast, you know. So there's definitely its hiccups and it's like, really good parts to it.
I mean, it's hard. Like, it's kind of cliche. A lot of people say this, but, like, podcasting is really therapy. It's therapeutic. Yeah. You know, I find the same thing sometimes. Like, I do, like, these little Adventure Times kind of updates before the actual conversation. And a lot of times it's, like, it's me venting about the week I just had, or me talking about, the wins we had, the great events, or, you know, like, not great events, or people flaking, or my car breaking down. You know, sometimes it's just nice to be able to say shit, like, just to say it out loud, you know, and know that, like, someone's going to hear it.
Yeah,
you know?
And somebody's going to relate to it.
It's cathartic, man. And then your guest is there, and they relate. They're like, oh, yeah, my car's broken down, too. And then it's like you're just – and then – It's just like a feel good kind of thing, you know, when it's done right. And a lot of people, I can see a lot of people like benefiting from that and how it helps their mental health. And there's a lot of podcasts I listen to where people are like, you know, me being able to just say this shit and the listeners, like, y'all get me through the day, you know, and it's like, it's true. Like, I'd be walking through the street and people would be like, hey, man, what's up with the podcast? Like, you still doing the podcast? Like, hey, I heard your podcast. And or even like the shows or like the rap or whatever I do, you know, it's just like, it's always nice to get that appreciation that something's just self-expression, something to just like, that's healing for me, but other people appreciate it and consume it and like want to support it and will buy a shirt or pay for a ticket or, you know,
exactly. They go to that extra, like to that extra step to kind of just show them that, you know, that it brings some sort of change. You know, it might not be huge and shit, but it's like enough to kind of like have them grasp at what you're trying to say and feel like they can relate to you.
I mean, I always feel these days, especially with like the political climate and everything, it's more important to try to make a small bit, like a big impact, a huge impact into a small amount of people, you know, like something like that's more tangible. Like sometimes people have these big aspirations and big dreams to like try to change the whole world or the whole political spectrum or to try to change people's perceptions, and it's like sometimes you need to just focus on like the people that are already in your corner and try to do something big for them, you know, because that's like, it's gonna have more impact, I feel like, the more tangible, like, and that's like local government shit as opposed to worrying so much about presidents. Obviously presidents, senators, governors, still huge, but like, who are the people who are trying to get you rent control, who are the folks who are like trying to like pass the taxes and make sure that the money you're spending is actually going to like fix the street lights and clean up the parks, and you know, like so it's like local small impacts are sometimes more huge than like these global movements that like lose momentum in short, they kind of fizzle out, you know.
I definitely understand that. I know, I mean, I live in the city of Cudahy.
Oh, so you know Liz, she's the one I was talking about.
Oh yeah, Elizabeth, right?
Yeah.
I know her by her formal name.
Mayor? No, vice mayor. What is she?
Council member.
Council member. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a great person overall. But yeah, for example, that brings it to that point that you're, you know, making here in regards to getting involved with your local. Oh shit, my bad, people. In regards to
it's 7:37 time check. Random ass alarm.
It's only been 7 minutes.
Random ass alarm.
I know. I don't even know why it's on, but I was probably taking a nap.
And you were like, "I better wake up and get to Sneaky on time."
So yeah, you know, getting involved is like, a lot of people don't want to get involved. I know I kind of touched this like two episodes ago or something, that you know, a lot of people decide to leave their hometown. You know, after a certain age, you're like, I want to get the fuck out of here. Like, fuck these people. And
or even from a young age, you just can't. And then you find a way out, right?
Yeah, like, right. Exactly. Yeah. When you want out, you want out, you know? But at some point, at least for me, it might have come a little late to my realization at that point. But I started thinking, like, dude, like, the best place you can try to make the change is within my community, you know? Whatever it is I can at least provide, or at least convince somebody to come with me. It's a little change that, you know, little by little, those little steps, they're going to lead to more people becoming involved, and that's affecting what the community, I guess, deserves or
well, I mean, like, we all have basic human rights, right? And then on top of that, I feel like there are just things that are kind of, at this point, where the resources are and the money is and all the things that we have in this world, like, it almost seems like there's just some things that should be a given, you know? And like, a lot of our communities don't get that stuff that should just be a given. On top of our human rights being violated, like, there's also like things that, you know, maybe that it'd be nice. It's like, we can afford it, and it'd be nice if people had these things, and it would actually really help everybody overall, but we don't get that, you know?
Yeah. I think one example that just came up when you were saying that is, like, for those people who live like in Maywood or don't know where Maywood's at, it's like the Southeast LA area. I don't think they're operating anymore, but Exide, that battery
Exide
company.
Plant, yeah.
You know, it's like one of, to me, that's one of the biggest, at least because I'm local here, like one of the, my examples of like an environmental racism or, you know, something like that. Because for the same fact that know the community, at least if you go up to Los Feliz, Griffith Park or Hollywood, they wouldn't really take that, you know. They're gonna protest, and they're gonna fucking say something and say, we don't want these things going on.
And they have the jobs where they can miss and go to hearings in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
and they
exactly.
have the babysitters who can take care of their kids while they're in the streets, or you know what I mean? Like,
exactly,
they have those resources. It's funny you bring that up, because in high school I actually was part of Communities for a Better Environment, and one of the things that we did was like to stop the power plant from being built. There was going to be a new power plant built.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. That was like 6-7 years ago or something.
It was like 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
So that was around that time. Well, that was around the time that I was involved, and then like it went on to like not happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like there was, it was just living that close mm-hmm. to a huge source of pollution. So for people who don't know, we're talking about Vernon. It's just like a completely industrial city.
Yeah, of course.
I think like the daytime population is like millions, like 2 million people, and the nighttime population is like 99 people. Like the council members are like the same family who like established that city, like back in.
Oh, really?
Some shit like that.
So this is some lineage.
Yeah. It's like a straight up fucking like it's a monarchy, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like they give tax breaks and they kind of have wonky rules when they, and that's why business comes here, and that's why business thrives here, you know? And so. I don't know. You listen to Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
So he had this makeup guy on recently, mm-hmm. and the guy who did Thriller, and he said they filmed it right here in Vernon in one of these like lots parking.
Michael
lots.
Jackson Thriller.
Yeah, Michael Jackson Thriller was filmed in Vernon, like a piece of
shit.
It. Yeah. And he made a comment. He was like, "Yo, the smell there mm-hmm. was like I couldn't handle the smell." He's talking about like the burning facility and like the
Farmer John's
carcass disposal, whatever, right? And I just thought, like, yo, man, we have to live here. Mm-hmm. Like, I smell that shit every night.
Yeah, right.
Every morning when I wake up, every night when I go to sleep, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm out late. Like, I'll be at events.
Yeah.
And
it just starts fucking smelling.
Yeah, and you're outside, you could smell the fucking... Yeah, like I'm
rotten meat or, like,
it's
just
like this burnt
shit.
Carcass fucking poisoned shit in the air, you know? Yeah. And it's like that. We live that, and that's a very prime example of environmental racism, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's no other... Like, there's other communities who have better resources and they're not dealing with those kind
of
issues.
Yeah, man. I think because of that, I don't know how much it was from, like, other factories, but I supposedly just with the excise, I think the lead levels in people and in Maywood, just in Maywood. I mean, the surrounding areas are Bell Gardens,
Huntington Park
Southgate, Bell. But, you know, all these here, but they're the ones with, like, the highest lead levels. I don't know if it was in the state or the nation.
No, and, like, they had to, like, replace people's lawns because the soil, people are growing shit in their fucking... poison gardens. It's just like and then like higher risk of cancer, birth defects, premature death, premature birth, mm-hmm. you know, asthma, all these like adverse effects, you know. And that's it's like I don't know how we got to this, but it's something that's like a part of our reality living mm-hmm. in this area, you know. And that's why a lot of what we have to worry about we have to worry about local
local issues,
grassroots movements.
Yeah, exactly.
People in the community who have shared experiences so that you can make your collective experience mm-hmm. more positive and have better outcomes, you know?
Yeah, exactly, right. And at the end of the day, you know, you take at least getting the younger people involved because, you know, for sure, within at least the majority of these cities here in Southeast, they're primarily Hispanic. And a lot of primarily they're also.
Or Latino. Let's just say Latino because there's like.
And then undocumented on top of that. So a lot of them don't have the chance to go vote for these type of issues, you know? And sometimes it just, I'm assuming it just depends on the people who, the younger people or the people who have that capability of going into the city. Like you said, taking their time out of their day to drive, to sit for a meeting, a council meeting and all this stuff.
And then
there's a lot of time that takes into making them go in there.
And not only that, like we talked about earlier, like I've canvassed for campaigns and knocked on doors mm-hmm. and tried to get people elected. And like, you know, a lot of those young voters are never home or they're off to school.
Yeah.
You know, like, because like, what do we say? People try to leave their city, right? Mm-hmm. At that critical age, like right after high school, 18, 19, 20, 21, when you're
like, I'm out. Yeah.
And you're about to, like, that's when you can vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, like, all these issues actually matter and you're gone. And then, I mean, like, I don't, like, this is not to blame many people. Like, I'm not trying to, like, talk shit about anybody trying to, like, live that life because I went and did that same thing. Obviously, a little later, but I went and did that. So, not knocking it, but it's just a reality. Like, the folks who can do stuff are not really around to do it because of the same reasons. There's no opportunities here. There's no chance for evolution and growth and flourishing. You have to get out of Southeast LA, like, and go to school somewhere else. You know, like, I mean, you don't have to, but it's almost like a more rich experience. I always tell people, like, leave here and come back. Like, leave and come back. Like, just go find out how other people live and see how people are treated and like what they're, you know, what they have access to and how they live and what they get and how all of this shit has actually come to be, and then come back and use that knowledge to like impact change, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly true. I mean, from my understanding, is you at some point went to UC San Diego, right?
Yes.
How, like, I went to San Diego like a week, 2 weeks ago or so. And to me, it was, again, this is just me talking as a tourist viewpoint,
for
you know?
Sure.
I went and I thought it was cool, man. I thought it was chill. Things, the vibe just seemed more chill in regards to LA. Everything's just fast. Things fucking moving quick. And I don't know, I just found it like a really cool spot. Like, but again, at the same time, I saw the differences in regards to the people who are around you at that point. And that's a big difference. You know, when you for do sure. see the, that, you know, darker skinned person, you're like, wait, like, are you friendly or not, you know, type of thing. Or, you know, like, you kind of have to like stand together in a sense. At least that's what I got from it, you know. But also because, at least me growing up, for a long time I wasn't exposed to other cultures per se, you know. I didn't have like an African-American friend till I was like after high school and stuff, you know. So again, because you move somewhere else,
right,
and you experience life differently, and you start seeing how, whether you relate to these or how you, you know,
well, you even find out more about yourself, right? Like,
yeah,
your internalized racism and your low-key
right.
anti-blackness, mm-hmm, and all the problematic,
yeah, no,
the, all the things
sure.
that we're used to saying in mm-hmm. the hood that's totally like funny and like culturally is not, you know, like we were raised to think it was okay, and then you yeah. go other places and you find out that these words are actually like meant to hurt people, and like yeah. they're funny because it's at someone else's expense, you know, and mm-hmm. you just don't have those folks in your community, so yeah. you can make those jokes and not have any consequences because the people you're making fun of are not there to be heard, you
exactly
know?
And as I went until you're in front of them, you're like, oh,
this is not yeah,
yeah,
this
exactly.
is actually fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh fuck, now I'm, you know, my dad or uncle, oh fuck, those guys are
they're racist. Yeah, like,
yeah.
And it's like one of the things in the Latino community that I think like is really starting to mm-hmm. get called out now, is like anti-blackness,
yeah,
and how close like Latinos and Afro-Latinos, Cubano, mm-hmm, like the whole like even
yeah,
you know,
right,
slaves escaping to Mexico, South America, you know, and like how,
yeah, just adapting to that whole different
how
culture, yeah,
can like close our cultures actually are, and like mm-hmm. all, you know, like think about like cumbias and salsas and
yeah,
Latin
right.
jazz and all these rhythms that we've borrowed that are African, you know, it's all African music, and it's all like, and then you even see like when you can put up like a spectrum of Latino and mm-hmm. see like there's Latinos that are super light skinned and
yeah,
there's
right.
like straight up black Latino, you know, black Mexicans and shit, and it's just like
yeah,
and then breaking down those barriers and like
yeah,
that,
exactly, yeah, because I think
the colorism that has been
the colorism
in place, yeah.
Yeah, that's what, now that you brought that up, just kind of solidify what I was bringing up in regards to like you know, you see Univision, Canal 34 and all this stuff. I don't know if that's the same channel, but the fact, I think somebody wrote an article saying that even in those channels that are predominantly Hispanic and Latinos, it's a lot of the people are still light-skinned.
Yeah,
you know,
like the folks that are giving the news are not, they don't look like the folks that are receiving the news,
exactly,
for the most part.
Yes, that's a perfect way to put it. And you know, and that, you know, not even in just the news, like the magazines. Like I was at Food for Less the other day and I'm just waiting in line, and I see these magazines, the Spanish ones, and all the people on the front, they're just light-skinned. And again, not that there's a preference and stuff, but the fact that they're not, like you said, they're not present, they're, the way the news is, wait, how did you say it? Fuck, I forgot.
The people that are giving the news are not representative of the people that are receiving the news.
Yeah, you know? There you go. Again, perfect. You know, and it just makes it complicated. Like, if they're not doing it and they're from, you know, a culture.
Well, I mean, how big of a deal is it that we finally had like an indigenous native, you know, South American, Mexican, like India mm-hmm. on like a magazine who like won an award for a movie? Like that was a big deal, right?
Oh, right.
It was a huge fucking mm-hmm. deal because like never happens, never
yeah.
has happened, right? And it's just like it takes things like, and everybody wants to talk about PC culture and calling shit out. It's like, man, sometimes you got to call it how you see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if it's the first time it's happened in hundreds of years, like there are 100 years, whatever the fuck, like those academies
yeah.
have been around for, 90 years, 100 years, whatever. It's like, come on, there's got to be a reason for that, you know,
yeah.
like can't just like turn a blind eye to that, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true, man. And you see it, I think hopefully, you know, if anything, things gotten a lot more progressive over the last couple of years, like they just accelerated a little bit more.
So, right,
know,
right.
I would say like 2016, Trump. just kind of, you know, he, you
or
know,
even the climate that led to him, you know.
Yeah,
because I remember, like, politically correct has been a thing. I mean, and Drake could even jump in on this. Comedians have been talking about PC culture forever.
Yeah,
like,
yep,
George Carlin, Joe Rogan, like, you know, like, because they were feeling it early on the campuses and shit.
Yeah,
but when I went to college in 2013, I feel like I was in this sweet spot where it was still cool and politically correctness was still something that you were, like, learning and trying to adapt to. But I feel like those 3 years that I was there, there was, that's when the backlash happened, you know? And so from 2013 to 2016, that whole backlash against PC culture, I feel, is what gave rise
to
I'll
give
Trump.
You a better example. 2001 to Janet Jackson's titties, radio was awesome because nobody was giving a crap. I'm serious. Shock jocks and all that was the rage. Right after Janet Jackson's titty came out, that's when all of the radio shows, the morning shows, had to lock down. You couldn't, you know, it's like everything had to be, like, super buttoned up because they didn't want to get fined no more about that. That's and then
it got 2001
to Janet Jackson's boob. And then after that, it I mean, you could still, it was still around, but it was getting towards there. And then, like you said, 2016, boom, Trump president, PC culture took over. So, yeah, the sweet spot.
Nah, yes, because I feel like now when you, like, if I was to be going to school now, I probably wouldn't be getting that same PC talk. Like, people would already be like, oh, yeah, this is politically correct, but be careful with it. It might go too far. Like, you know, before it was just like, no, like, this is racist. These people are wrong.
I would have to ask you, hey, what would you like to make it call you? He, she, wait.
Yeah, what's your preferred gender pronouns? Yeah, how do you identify, right?
You might go to the restroom with the chick next to you. You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but if I have, I'm not trying to make a point here, but if I had something to say, I'd just be, what, like, cisgendered male. It's like, I already have a privilege there. And it's like, what?
Did I say normal?
No, that's actually problematic because you're assuming that, like, you are the norm and other people are the abnorm.
Oh, damn, man. You just fired me up right now. I feel triggered.
No. That's how PC culture works.
Yeah, of course.
And I feel like on some levels, it's, like, super helpful and very, like, compassionate and nice and polite to think of people's feelings like that.
Right.
But in, like, sometimes in real world situations and, like, just the intersections, you know, for lack of a better term, of how life plays out, like, those things don't always, like, line up, you know.
Yeah.
Politically correct, I mean, there was a lot of kids who graduated college and tried to go into the workplace and were fucking slapped with how non-politically correct, like, corporate America is, and everyday 9-to-5 shit is, you know.
No, that's a thing. Like, for example, what was it? Well, I'll probably say a few years ago, I think when I first started one of my first jobs too, I was like, wait, hold on, let me just get the check on. Okay, we still got half an hour.
Yeah.
I saw him making sound. I was like, what, 2 minutes?
Oh, no, he's just saying what's up.
We got people in the crowd, Dusty. We got our lawyer, IMUR, and we got Camo 211.
All right. What's up, guys?
Oh, for sure. What's up, Camo?
Where the fuck was I going with this? I remember getting a slap in the face once because I went into this job thinking that everybody was, like, fucking cool and, like, nice and, like, progressive. But then one of the managers was a fucking, he was just a straight out dick. Like, there was just disregard, and you didn't know how to really react to the fact that somebody was, like, not talking down to you, but just showing that they have
authority.
Flexing.
They were flexing on you. And they're allowed to, and you have to take it. And, like, you're not really allowed to call, unless they, like, do something to violate you, like, them acting that way is not against any kind of rule.
Yeah, they can. Yeah,
they're your boss. Technically legal.
Yeah, man. So, and, you know, right after that, I don't experience that anymore. You know, but I still come across people that I know, and they're like, dude, my boss is a douchebag, or, you know, she's a fucking bitch. You know, and it's like, dude, like, you know, at least at some point for me, this is kind of move conversation and stuff, but my first time that I realized that people were just kind of people, like, yes, he's my boss. He has a title. That's what he gave him that says that he has authority over somebody, was when I started experiencing with psychedelics.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a good segue.
And then to me, that was like, I remember just being at work, and I was a little, I was microdosing at that time with some shrooms. And
like, was it a real microdose? Nah, or was it like it was, borderline dosage?
I was waiting, dude.
Because some people microdose and then they just dose themselves trying to microdose.
It was, yeah, I think it's a little too much. And I was at work and I was typing. I used to do technical support for this tax company, you know. And I'm just sitting down and I went to the bathroom because I had to. This is when I first realized, I was like, oh, shit. Like, things are looking weird right now. And so I went to the bathroom and, well, I'm using the urinal because I'm trying to, like, just focus. And there's this little, for men, I mean, or for people with penises, you see that there, when you go to a urinal, there's like either a little shell or a little bee you can kind of aim
like
at,
where you're supposed to be at.
So, you know, I'm trying to focus on that and I'm just thinking everything like, oh shit, dude, I still gotta have like 6 hours to go. I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna fucking talk on the phone without slurring. And my supervisor, my manager, comes in and he just comes next to the urinal next to me and he starts taking a leak. We don't talk or anything, we're just looking straight. And then I'm thinking like, dude, fuck this guy. You know, first of all, like, this guy is just another person. Like, he's just another human with the same, not the same experiences, but the whole aspects of what it is to be, you know, to grow as a human, to be human. We share that same thing. Like, he takes a piss next to me. He uses the same type of toilet to take a shit on. You know, the act
is also his ass with the same paper.
Yeah. So this person is not above me. And then that's when I kind of realized, like, this guy, he's not above me. You know, he's not more than me. He's just an asshole, you know? And to me, that's when I kind of, the idea of authority kind of, like, started withering away. And since then, I, you know, opened something in my end to kind of, like, be more proactive on my own, you know, to take charge of my own things, because I shouldn't have to rely on somebody else's approval or sense of my work ethic to prove that I can be more or do more type of thing, you know? So all this happened while I was just microdosing, air quotes.
Air quotes, microdosing.
And then, like, the job ended, like, a month later. And then from then, I just decided that, you know, I was going to just work on my stuff, you know, my field, which is design at that time. Or it still is at this point. But now it has, graphic design, yeah. So you kind of just, you know,
keep always going. Need a graphic designer on the team,
bro. Hey, man, we know. off air.
Yeah, for sure. We'll talk offline. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, just to kind of follow up on that, I mean, and this is gonna, I'm gonna say this with a bunch of privilege. That's why I like the fact that I don't have a boss. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really trying to build a life where people don't have to have bosses anymore. Because bosses, for the most part, you give a human power, they're going to be a dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sooner or later, they're going
to. It's just like, that's why checks and balances exist. Mm-hmm. That's why psychedelics exist. That's why marijuana exists, to, like, check power, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I mean, and that's, if you're speaking, I would say speaking in that sense, be like your ego. You know, your ego is the one who maintains the idea that it is in power at all times,
that
and
it
should be,
that it can control things and that it can drive things, and that it exists at all, right? Because I mean, that's the part of you that's the part of you that makes you think you're real.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the part of you that makes you think you're real, and that makes you think that you matter.
Yeah, and once that gets broken down, you see the
illusion, and like how oneness. Mm-hmm. Is really what we all should be striving for, you know? Yeah. Like, to be one, to live as one, to evolve and progress as one human species, you know? As one, not even just human, like, biodome. Like, every kind of biological life form should be, like, this one connected thing that's, like, moving towards something, you know?
Yeah, right. Instead of just being its own different little... I mean, this is what trips me out. Okay, so I know I kind of, like, went from the fucking bathroom story and doing, you know, microdosing with the shrooms. Like, for you, what was that like? If you could talk about it, you know, like, if in regards to your experiences with that, like, what was your first experience like?
Okay, so my first experience was a weird one.
Yeah.
Was that I had driven up to Chico State to DJ some dorm parties.
Yeah.
And we were crashing with a homie, got some shrooms, we threw on a movie, and I kind of, like, fell asleep, but was also, like, watching the movie, and then, like, in the movie, and like I wasn't sure if I was like dreaming or trip, like uh-huh. like the body high was so intense. I feel like in hindsight, when I look back my experience now with mushrooms, I just feel like the body high was so intense.
Yeah,
that like it kind of floored me, and I was like having a trip, but I thought I was
like floored, like you were
like I was laying down, yeah. just like watching a movie, like mm-hmm. eyes half open watching the movie.
Can I
just
borrow the lighter?
Oh no, not at all. Here you go, thank kind
you.
Sir.
thank you.
Yeah. So. And we were watching Across the Universe. Remember that movie?
Oh yeah, the one with the Beatles music. Yeah, yeah.
And it was like Dear Prudence, and we were in the clouds, dude, and like oh, we were, yeah, and like they're like there's this trippy like that movie's all like psychedelic and shit. And I remember like being in love with that like with that soundtrack for like a whole year. Just yeah. like that's like my shit, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like that trip wasn't really transformative as much as like later ones where I was like. Really like mm-hmm. going through it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at least for me, the microdosing was after I had done the first one, and I know I kind of last 2 weeks ago we kind of touched with Dre when I was talking with you in regards to psychedelics and how like Joe Biden had brought something up that there was not enough research to say that marijuana wasn't a gateway drug,
which just shows how out of touch he is with everybody.
Dude, for sure.
Literally the whole United
States. And unfortunately, like, I think it's going to be another 49 states. I don't want to say it because I know people are going to be like, but I feel it's Biden's going to be another situation like Clinton was.
They're going to force him in.
Yeah.
And we're against all odds. They're going to put him against Trump, and then Trump's going to win because everybody's like, fuck this guy.
Yeah. So that's what I hope it doesn't happen. But, you know,
I mean, who's your candidate? Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm Andrew once, Yang. Gang, gang.
Yeah, like,
Yang,
yeah,
gang, like Yang, gang.
He's for sure my favorite new upcoming guy. You know, I don't see him going too Yang, far, gang. Unfortunately, which I would like to see him at some point, you know. But I had to say Bernie and Elizabeth Warren at this point.
Yeah.
But Tulsi, haters. Don't
want to see a woman. You know what? I think Bernie's too old, man. Too old.
For sure.
Tulsi Gabbard's serving in the current military.
Too old, too white, you know, just for the
too
for
old,
the,
too white.
For
yeah.
the far left, too old, too white. You know, you're not gonna get
for
that.
Sure.
You're not gonna get that section, you know. Elizabeth yeah. Warren has her own problems.
Yeah,
you
know? That Pocahontas thing.
Kamala
yeah,
Harris just dropped.
Oh, she dropped.
Yeah, she just dropped. So, like, I mean, yeah, Tulsi. I mean, Tulsi. I'm not hating on Tulsi. I'm just more down for Yang, you know.
Yang gang.
$1,000 a month.
Wait, universal income, man, and it's
yo,
you know
yo,
from
patriot dividend.
Well,
the freedom dividend. Now look. I run a business. I know for a fact that if I had $1,000 a month, my business would be way more successful.
Oh, yeah.
I would have less anxiety.
Well, that's, yeah, like, well, I mean, you break that down real quick for those people who don't
Woo!
Know. So, like, you can say it, you know, what is it called? The freedom dividend? Or also, you know,
universal
income.
UBI,
you know.
UBI. It's UBI. It's rebranded. It's UBI rebranded. Yeah. Which I don't care, dude. Do what you gotta do. Sell that. I'm in marketing, bro. Sell that shit. Yeah. I drank the Kool-Aid.
There's these posters he has that say "Vote for Yang," and it's him wearing the. I think he's in a suit with fucking. What's his name? The American guy. Uncle Sam. Yeah, but it's him. And he's like, I want to give you money. And it's like, oh, dude, that's a perfect way to fucking
dude,
push
he's,
it, you know?
He's young. He knows how to internet.
Internet?
He knows it. No, he really does, bro. And they're already trying to block him out. And, like, there's been a backlash. And now media companies are being called out. Like, oh, yeah, we were intentionally trying
dude,
to,
even
like,
in the debates. I don't know for those who watch it, but... I watch them. They're sometimes like 2 hours long, and I'm still like, what the fuck are they saying? But they don't give him coverage, dude. It's usually just to fucking Bernie, Biden, or Warren. And sure, they're the ones who talk the most, but everybody else not even getting any TV time, dude.
No, and they even like mention their names, and they don't fucking get called on. And like,
I don't know, man. I get it. Like,
it's a mess, bro. It's a mess.
Yeah,
it's a mess. It's not gonna be fixed anytime soon. Like, I'm.
Oh shit.
I'm optimistic, but at the same time, like. I'm a realist, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to go down the way it's going to go down. And I think that's why, again, like, a lot of the anxiety that people get from all that is because they're not taking action mm-hmm. locally.
Yeah.
And they're not doing enough psychedelics.
No, well, that brings me back to the point, you know, Biden's ignorant statement in regards to that. And it's like...
Dude, I mean, the research is there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're already doing clinical trials of psilocybin, MDMA, it's almost like people are so over weed already. They're like, they already like, okay, we're good at weed. We're like, we got to do more.
Yeah. Well, I think Colorado is trying to pass, or they passed some sort of bill.
Oakland decriminalized.
Nice. Seems like little steps like that. But again, there's a difference. You know, I was talking to some friends a few weeks ago in regards to just their usage of the psychedelic drugs, right? And, you know, a lot of the times you probably do take drugs to kind of just have fun, take the edge off, enjoy yourself, and just trip out on whatever comes, you know, along with that trip. But there's also people who go there, maybe not for, like, with the intentions of doing it, and sometimes they're forced into it by the effect of the drug, but you see a deeper sense of the world around you, or yourself. You know, one of the first times that I tried mushrooms, allegedly. No, I didn't, guys. But I will imagine that
it's
the trip.
It's too late. We're like talking like veterans. It's too late.
Like, oh, yeah.
There's only a big ass mushroom back there too.
One of the experiences that I had was, to me, it was fucking not painful, but it was pretty sad that I started thinking that we are in essence we're born alone, again, you know, air quotes here. And you die alone, you know? And at the end of it, you have to find a way to feel like, at least this was just my trip, you know? This is my realization.
To feel like okay with what you did and okay with dying.
Yeah,
and
you have to feel okay with it. Yeah, and you have to feel okay with yourself, you know? Because you are home, and you're always, no matter where you are, you should feel like you are with yourself anywhere, type of thing, you know? You know, it's an idea that if I felt like I needed to be home to feel secure, it's just my social ideology that I have to have some walls around me, in a sense,
to make
feel
me safe. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then the second time I tripped out, I thought I had worked towards that. Like, my whole thing after the first trip was you gotta put yourself more in uncomfortable situations, you know, because most of the time I would say that your growth comes from getting out of your comfort zone. And
I mean, that's why, like, a lot of people kind of talk down on people who take psychedelics at festivals, but I've found in my experience that, like, sometimes I feel more safe at a festival, you know, like at a amongst other fucking freak shows that are just like me. And we're all like looking out for each other, you know, like in a weird way.
Right There's like, there's some sort of,
I mean, of course it depends,
community.
It depends what festivals you go to and the art, and obviously, like, where, you know, like, there's obviously, I'm not gonna just say that clear across the board, it's always like that, but I feel like for sure I understand both sides, because I've done both. Like, I've had fun trips that are just like, look at the colors, and this feels amazing, and I love everybody. And then, but I've also had like super hard, intense trips about how, like, yo, one day you're not gonna be here anymore, and like, it's not even gonna matter what you did or didn't do. You know, it's only gonna matter how you feel about it in the moment, and like having to like go through this hellhole of thinking that I was like dying, and then coming back and realizing like, okay, I'm still alive, so now I gotta fucking do shit. Like, I gotta be urgent, you know? I gotta be more intentional. But also, sometimes I feel like the two don't have to be exclusive, you know? It's like, sometimes you can take something to have fun and feel good, and in that process, kind of work through and relieve, like, trauma, you know, because I feel like, I mean, just, I don't know, this is like my personal belief. I feel like, and I probably, because I've heard it from different places and my own experiences, you know, just kind of like an amalgamation of like things that I've fucking read and heard and experienced. I feel like your body like holds trauma.
Yeah. Okay.
Like your body, like you're not in your head, you're not the only one experiencing what's happening to you, like in this cognitive sense. Like, your body is also going through those same hardships, you know? Like, so every time that you think, you know, you're sad or you're depressed or you feel mentally exhausted, or like, you know, you're insecure and you're stressed out, like, it's not just your mind that's going through that. I feel like your body is also experiencing those like chemicals and hormones and the way you fucking tense up, because you're, you know, so like sometimes like when I'm taking psychedelics and I'm out and I'm dancing and I feel like I'm relieving like a physical, like I'm going through like a physical healing. Mm-hmm. Using like channeling that fucking higher consciousness, yeah. To like just kind of like take out this toxin, you know, from my physical form as I'm like moving to like drum rhythms and shit, you know. And it's just like,
yeah, no, that's a fucking great way to say it. Yeah, no, it's definitely true, because your body does need that kind of stuff, you know. Okay, so I kind of want to just touch upon the base that like there's definitely a lot of people who don't want to do psychedelics. We're gonna say to the end of their life, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna, you know, take the chance of altering the state of mind to seeing what else is there, you know, because what we see now as reality, or what we think reality is not fully it, you know. And you know, when anybody tries to explain it, it sounds crazy, but you know, there's more, like there's energy in everything around you, type of thing, you know. And it's, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, like I feel like you're lifting the veil, you know.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the studies that they've done on psychedelics is that like people used to say like, oh, when you take mushrooms, you're like accessing more, mm-hmm. of your brain, and like you're seeing shit with like more of your brain.
Yeah.
And actually like a lot, like some of these MRI tests, what they've actually shown is that like parts of your brain are shutting down, like evolutionary parts that like things that filters you have to put up to survive. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Yeah. Because you're only
perception,
supposed to feel, yeah.
Like being able to capture food and fuck and eat, mm-hmm. and like, you know, not get eaten, like those are like what you're, yeah. That's what you need to be, yeah. able to experience, right, to survive. So evolutionarily there's these filters that have been put up, mm-hmm. so that we can see the world like this and be able to like
to survive,
not get eaten by
the
wolves, yeah. and like, you know. And so when you take these psychedelics and these like filters, mm-hmm. are dimmed and you start to actually see more,
yeah.
of the world, more of the universe, and you got to like, you're actually experiencing more, like even the feeling, right? Like sometimes, like I've done some crazy shit, right? So I did LSD and mushrooms together once.
Dude.
Yeah. And it was again like, and like this is kind of going back to that. This is kind of going back to my theory, yeah. right? Is that like it was in college after like an extremely stressful experience, mm. where I had just like pushed my mind and body to like crazy, like just like to get with, yeah. with a goal to, mm-hmm. get something done. Like not even just like party wise. It was like I was working, like, mm-hmm. it was like 2 weeks of just like solid like grind to like do this thing. And at the end of it, like we accomplished our goal. And we had a party, and I wanted a party, you, mm-hmm. know. And I took this shit, and I was like, as soon as it hit, like I found a room, and I lay down in the bed, and I grabbed the blanket, man. And I pulled it over me. And as I pulled it, it was just like rainbows and light and love and stars. And I just wrapped myself up in like the love of the universe, mm-hmm. and I just chilled, and I was like there, like, and it just like, it was so cathartic. It's like my body needed that to, yeah. just rest and experience this like one love, you know, with everything, this, mm-hmm. like cosmic, just like wrapped up in cosmic beauty and like just surrounded by this unconditional love and just feeling this like intense connection and like relief and just like this, like just working through those weeks of the trauma, like that intense like push, you know. Yeah. And like, and I just remember like that experience being like so transformative that like I've written music about it, like, mm-hmm. I've, you know, like poetry, and like it's always something that I like go back to in my head, like when I'm like now, like when I don't really like party like that anymore, yeah. you know. That was like, it was like that was like the experimental phase of, yeah. my life. Like I'm way more like business oriented and like really trying to like, you know, bring positive messages to the community and positive experiences, and like, you know, trying to really create like grassroots movements and like be able to support our art, because that's one of the things that I like about you. There's so many artists, you know, so many, you're putting on so many, even the music that like you play is like so many bands that I know, like that are local.
Oh,
and it's like,
right, yeah, like the music is showcasing the show
from this,
yeah.
area, yeah. So it's just like you're putting on all this stuff, and I feel like sometimes when I'm in my journey and I'm struggling and I don't know, I always remember that feeling, that moment of how it felt to be like, and like remembering that that's kind of like, I'm trying to accomplish that in real time, you know, like here, like as a collective with folks that like bring me that kind of love and joy and beauty in the art and in the experiences and in the music. And you know what I mean? And that's kind of like, I'm trying to create
that. Yeah. Shit, at that like, point you're creating. Yeah. I mean, cause you know, at the end you're becoming a creator, you know, you want to have those, cause like you said, you were in those footsteps before. So, you know, like I said, the struggles, or you know, the work that you need to put into getting the space or making the space. You, in your hand, you took, you know, responsibility, you put your shit together and you created that space that wasn't available there.
Exactly.
And now those other people, they have a place to go, and then they start rising, you know, and then at the end everybody rises,
you know? Yeah, and I recently did like a career day where like, you know, there was a kid in the class and he was like, yo, I draw, I want to do graphic design, this and that, like, you know, give me a job. And I was like, well, shoot me your information, you know. And like, now we're connected on Instagram, and like, I'm planning to like, you know, try to like shoot him some work if I can, and let, you know, have him see that, okay, like there's a path, you know, there's a place, you know. And I, even since then, I'm trying to like plan. A lot of those kids wanted to come see me rap, and like I rap in places where kids are not allowed, right? So now I'm having this idea that like we got to have like some kind of all ages, like something that like where, you know, we could do something, like we need a space that's going to be for young people, and that can have them, and it's not going to be dependent on like ticket sales or bar sales
or age limits.
Like it has to be something that's like organic, you know. So there's a couple things in the works. 2020 is upon us, and I'm already like really grinding hard. I've been trying to figure out how to like accomplish these goals that I've set for myself, so expect a lot of things to come for sure.
That's good, man. You know, it's good to hear when people are like taking action and they're just, you know, putting in the work, you know, because unfortunately sometimes you lose momentum, and then when you lose that momentum, you start thinking like, oh fuck, you're gonna start taking all your work, and like you start resenting it in a way, like, you know, where is it getting me, type of thing, you know.
Dude, and honestly, I think that's one of the lessons that I've learned this year, and I'm planning to do like a recap on my pod about like the 2019 experience and shit. One of the things that I'm gonna talk about is just like realizing when like sometimes you have to do nothing.
Yeah,
that's like, that's part of the process. Like, sometimes you have to fuck off and like not work, like like I feel like my boy Johnny from college, shout out Johnny Wynn, I feel like he said it best. He's like, I don't want to become a rapper who just raps about rapping, you know. So sometimes you have to like I don't want to be an event producer and a musician and a DJ who just all they do is that, you know, even though that's like my goal to be able to do that shit all the time. Like, if I'm not being able to just do whatever the fuck I want to do and I feel like I want to do it, then why am I killing myself to live that life, you know? I could go have a 9-to-5 and still have like take time off and like get vacation time, you know what I mean? Like there's other people that have other situations, and like they plan trips because they have steady income and they have time off that they can take. So like for me, it's like sometimes like I had to remember that on this entrepreneur journey, it's like, and this artist journey where it's like independent and it's content generation and it's kind of trying to keep up and stay relevant, like it's okay to just not do shit sometimes, like and like to take a break and go to a festival and hit a rave, and you know, like, dude, like go have those like those moments for like, those experiences where you could like, you know, get out of your body, get out of your head, refresh yourself, come back with like new stories, new experiences, new ideas.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's what you want, you know. You don't want to fall into that just stagnant type of way, you know. Yeah, man. I mean, that's why, you know, whenever I, like again mentioned, when I hear somebody doing something towards their stuff, it's like, dude, that's it takes effort, you know. And it does, you know, a lot of people think like, oh, I don't have time, like, but if you really think about it, you do have time. You're just, you know, doing a lot of other stuff sometimes, you know. And I feel like when you really want to make the effort into something, you're gonna find a way to kind of make time for it, one way or another. And even if it's 5 minutes,
it's super cliche, and a lot of people will call people out for, you know, the privilege they had or the opportunities they had they didn't have. But like at some point, it's like you choose what you do with your time.
Yeah,
like you choose it. Like, sure, everybody has their particular situation, their bills, their, you know, like, people made choices, whatever, right? But at like, when you really, really get down to it, like, you can make the choices that you want to make with your time. Like, you could choose to do, you know? And if that means working 9 to 5 and then, like, not fucking going to the bar and drinking and watching TV after, but going to do whatever your hobby is and, like, you know, to, like, go put in that work into what you really want to do with your time instead of your 9 to 5 so that one day you can quit your 9 to 5 and then...
Yeah, you just pursue that.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, that's... Sometimes that's the grind you got to take. And it's just... It's hard to tell people how to live their lives, you know? But at some point, it's like, I feel like it's your choice.
Yeah, I mean, unless you enjoy your 9 to 5. Like,
right, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a 9 to 5, but I feel like we're talking about, like, a lot of people who are unhappy.
Yeah, of course. And then I'm sure that's a huge percentage of it. Yeah,
they're feeling unfulfilled. They're unhappy. And they're working jobs they don't like, you know, and living lives that they don't get to live, and they feel like they can't do anything. They feel trapped.
Yeah.
And that's why $1,000 a month would help
them. Andrew Yang.
Gang. No, but seriously, like, that's like things like that, like programs, safety nets, you know, privileges, right? What we were going back to earlier. So there's basic human rights, but there's also privileges that, like, if you're living in the most free, most advanced, most rich, greatest country on earth, then we should have privileges that other folks have.
Yeah,
and living in equally, quote unquote, great place, you know, like, if we're quote unquote the greatest, why don't we have the privileges that other quote unquote great countries have, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but then the answer is we're not that place.
We're corporate. It's like, what?
We're corporate. Yeah, we. I don't think we went into, like, the universe. It's probably too late here. You know, 3 minutes, but just.
Yeah,
9 minutes. Yeah, what?
Yeah, 9 minutes.
9 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, universal income, basic income. So, we're bringing back to the whole thing is, like, sometimes you have to work that 9 to 5 to just make through what you gotta fucking pay. So, the whole idea that Andrew Yang is throwing out, or just the idea of universal basic income.
Right, because other people have started, like, they're going to pick it up, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to be, like, burning of this election. He's going to push the issue so hard. People are going to get so behind it that some Democrat is going to have to accept it in order to get the voters that are behind that, you know?
Yeah. There's a wave.
There's a wave for sure, dude. I'll do it. I was at this rave, I'm telling you, and there was fucking Yang Gang totems, bro. People were, dude, I saw hilarious. Andrew Yang's face. I saw the Yang Gang in lights. Like, I saw all kinds of fucking Andrew Yang supporters right there at the rave who would love to fucking spend $1,000 on festival tickets.
Oh, for sure. I went to LA Comic Con and
No questions asked, though, right? I mean, if you have a job already where you can afford that and you get an extra $1,000 and you can pay for extra trips to fly to Ibiza or, like, you know, what the fuck? Why not?
Now, well, there was cosplayers inside with fucking Andrew Yang posters. I was like, what the fuck? People dress like the X-Men. I'm like, I was like, what? Dude.
$1,000
a month. He knows how to play it.
Kevin Smith performing at the next gun open mic.
$1,000?
Drop him a G.
No, I mean, but the whole idea is... I mean,
dude, what would your studio turn into if you had an extra $1,000 a month?
China would be growing. China would be a bank.
No, bro. China? Yeah, you'd have to buy local, man. That's the whole point.
No, I mean, just to wrap it up, right, in that case, you know, the universal income was supposed to be like an incentive, or not an incentive, a dividend.
Safety net.
Yeah, exactly. For the idea that you'll be using it to cover the bills, to have more money to be able to either spend to rise, make the economy rise,
right.
You spend it on hobbies or pursue specific things. Like, you know, for example, you can buy equipment for your... you know, your music,
right,
and so on and so forth.
You can fucking buy materials to make clothes. You can buy the paint to fucking paint murals.
Yeah.
You can fucking publish your own books. Pay to get a book printed. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Pay for a website, a monthly subscription to a website to have your own website.
Yeah.
You know, you can fucking use that shit to pay taxes on the shit you sell. You know, there's so many things that and it all comes from, like, these corporations not paying their fair share.
Right.
You know. Amazon. They paid zero.
Yep.
And people are like, oh, where's the money gonna come from? You can't just tax everything. No, like, okay, so he said you get to choose, right? Either you get the welfare or you get $1,000. You don't get both. So you either want EBT, or you get the $1,000, you know? And then you also have to
for think, you to use on whatever
yeah,
you want.
Yeah, so either you get the shit for the food and yeah. the well and the welfare and those benefits, mm-hmm. Or you get the thousand. You can't get both, right? So that cuts cost there.
Yeah.
And then people have money in their pocket, and they can actually like buy better food and get vitamins and go see doctors. And now they're healthy. And now you have less people going to the emergency room, less people mm-hmm. being a burden and having to like be more expensive because they're sick and unhealthy and dying, right? So there's like a lot of pluses where like then the costs. Mm-hmm. You know, people have $1,000, they can pay parking tickets, they can pay fines, they don't go to jail. So we we lowered the price of having to have people incarcerated, mm-hmm. you know, so that goes down like, yeah. And then people spend money in their communities. They go to bars, they go to restaurants, they take their girlfriends out, and you know, they fucking stimulate their local community the economy, with money, and people can hire more people because more money's coming in, and all the shits. And then maybe people can quit their jobs, and fucking other people can get hired, you know. Like, it's like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, from what I got here is Sneaky has converted me into the Andrew Yang gang.
Yeah. What about you, Dre? Super Radio Network Yang gang.
All I'm gonna say is if he gets the UBI going, I'm gonna invest in crack, because crack sales are gonna go way up. Ooh. Way up.
Nah, why you gotta make it like that? That's not even true. People will get off crack because they'll actually have money to like do better shit than crack.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's true.
Maybe because like in order to get the money, you actually have to be like registered and like be on the grid. And what? Usually crackheads, they go too deep to get them.
What did the blood test? Oh shit.
Nah. No questions asked. They said,
"Oh yeah,
you're for the, free. $1,000
for the thousand.
No questions asked.
Drug test
for whatever you want.
No, weed's cool."
I mean, he did say he was gonna like legalize or decriminalize nationwide if he became president.
Dude,
there's already a bill.
Yeah, there's already a bill right now working towards.
You
Congress,
know how many bills
right?
there are that Congress is not fucking signing, bro?
Come no, on. Oh well, that's yeah.
That's some other shit. That's a whole other podcast. That listen to Mueller, she wrote.
So we got what? We got 4 minutes here. 4 minutes. Yeah, so.
Oh, so should we go with my song?
Yeah.
Or are there any other things that we didn't talk about anything, huh?
yeah, out of the notes here, we didn't touch one, but it's perfect.
Can I just blabber myself and like
first of all, give us your link here so we know before we start putting your song. Where can people find you? If I know you, before we wrap that up, I know you also do DJ, right?
Yes,
I do. You're doing DJ where?
I'm DJing tonight at Novocaine and Huntington Park. So if anybody's listening live still, come through. I'm also DJing. I have my monthly hip-hop show, Speakeasy, mm-hmm. here in the city of Maywood that happens every second Friday. So it's happening this Friday at the Redwood Room on Atlantic and Slauson.
Close by.
And then I'm like triple booked on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a brunch in the morning. I'm DJing at Border X in the afternoon. And then I'm catching a late set at the Holiday Bar in Boyle Heights. And you could basically find all my stuff at sneaky.net. But if you're specifically Instagram's what's popping right now. I'm trying to get my Instagram cracking. So if you want to follow me, follow me. I have 3 Instagrams. Sorry. So I'm going to tell you all of them. It's at official sneaky for all my music and personal stuff. At Sneaky ENT for all event flyers and business related things. And then at Rec Respect Pod, REC Respect Pod, for all the podcast stuff. So yeah, find me, follow me, come hang out at the shows, say what's up, let's drink a beer, smoke a blunt, kick it, you know.
It sounds like
what?
A good plan.
Yeah, man, so Sneaky, doing it for the community every
Sweet,
day.
Sweet, man.
What else did you have on your list right here?
Oh, we had, what else we have? East LA Art Walk, and I think that's a yearly arts fest, right?
Oh, yeah, the Cella Arts Fest is happening in July. Planning meeting starts this month, mm-hmm. I think. We're going to start planning this month, I think.
So. Sick. Yeah, I mean, for those who haven't heard of that, it's basically a music festival with vendors and like, you know, there's like different crafts going on. I remember there was face painting.
Yeah. Over 100 vendors.
In the riverbed.
Food trucks. Yeah. The 3 stages in the LA riverbed at the...
Which I think is a fucking dope ass concept.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Shout out Anthony Rendon. actually he probably does not want to hear me have his name associated with the rest of the conversation we just had, but that was also someone that's doing it for the community and has really like put resources in the hands of the folks, you know, that I think that almost proves like universal basic income in a way, right? Because like that whole festival is done by community members, and like they actually pay the people who make art and organize in the community to actually throw the festival, and like so we're throwing our own festival with money that they've got, you know, so they're actually giving us the resources and we're actually putting it towards throwing this festival that, you know, has 6,000 people and has performers from all ages and family friendly and like completely free, you know, so like that's, you know, that's one of those things like when government spends correctly and actually gives the power to the people, like the things will get done, you know, to the best of its ability, like so.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, you know, for sure. Thank you for coming out, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having all the info. Yeah, I feel like this conversation was so dense. It went by so quick. I feel like we were only for 20 minutes, but it was like a whole hour, huh?
Yeah, it went pretty fast.
We'll have to do a part two. Because I feel like we didn't even touch any of the shit we want to talk about.
Yeah, I know. But it's cool seeing the introduction.
To Sneaky.
Thank you, everybody, for coming out. I mean, for coming out, for fucking checking the podcast out.
Yeah, no, make sure y'all come out, and then we could thank you for coming out, too, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, the Border X thing is like a Border Angels event, so it's like,
this weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah, Mind Monogram, the Tracks, the Altins, Welfare, the Altins, yeah.
You know where to be,
DJing,
people.
Hanchola, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you to IMUR and the rest of our audience.
Thank you.
All right, so this song is actually a new song. I've performed it a bunch, but it's been on some like video content that I put out, but this is like the final version. So it's called Stay True, and it's coming off of an unnamed project that's dropping next year.
Damn, early exclusive. Got the exclusive.
Yeah, it's not out yet. It's gonna drop soon, but you know, thought I'd do something special for the here for having me on. Dre's always putting me on. I've been on so many shows here, you know, so fucking love y'all.
Sweet.
You know, thought I'd do some shit right here. So,
well, thanks everybody. Dre, as always, thank you. Sneaky, thanks for coming out. Everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next episode. And stick around for Sneaky's exclusive song.
Peace.
I pack Ziplocs with Sneaky stickers and bunnies. I'm an alchemist, I've been making gold out of nothing. I'm in the studio, Zest tracks are still running. We're on another plane, track strap are still hunting. Thinking back to when I packed sacks, thought I was the man, time passed. County sales, wedding bells, baby cries, family ties. Trying to guess my father's eyes, to be the man in Brandon's eyes. Trying to dry my mother's eyes, to live my truth amongst the lies. Make sure you stay true, make sure you do you. Make sure nobody ever try to use you. Make sure you stay true, make sure you do you. Make sure nobody ever fucking use you. The trip when I'm living like this. Success is the goal and I'm striving for it. To tell you the truth, been living in bliss. Chasing my dream and not giving a shit. Starting a business and using my whip. Employing my brain and flexing my wit. Expressing myself and my will and my gift. Making the life that I'm choosing to live. Forgetting traditional. Structures are fictional. Religion is ritual. Existence is spiritual. Surpassing the minimum. On a continuum. Chillin', kick back on the beat, but still riding the rhythm cut. Make sure you stay true, make sure you do you. Make sure nobody ever try to use you. Make sure you stay true,